Data Bytes. Hi everyone, welcome back to Dinner to Data Bytes. This is your host Neha, and we can't wait to get started on another exciting data journey with all of you today. To add to this excitement, this is going to be our 10th episode on the show. It feels like just yesterday that we began the series, but look how far we've come already. So today we are joined by our guest, Suresh Chandrasekhar, who is the Executive Vice President at Dinner. Suresh's expertise lies in the areas of business strategy, market positioning, revenue acceleration, and ecosystem development. And together we will be discussing how does a modern data ecosystem drive business value. A very warm welcome to you, Suresh. Great to have you on the show. So can you talk to us about your role at Dinodo and your career journey within the data space?
Hi, Neha. Glad to be on your show and thanks for having me. Yes, I've been with Dinodo since our inception in North America, which was in 2006, when our CEO and founder, Angel Viña, moved the company from Spain to here at an early stage. And my role here has spanned in these 15 years, both operational responsibility for the go-to-market in North America in particular, but also many of the strategic objectives of growing the business. So I've been involved in opening probably about a half a dozen to a dozen offices in other parts of the world, as well as developing the partner ecosystem, involvement in the cloud offerings, and also being a support to the operational side in the regional VPs, etc. And in terms of the broader, you know, I come from a financial background. I actually chanced into the technology and data space through mergers and acquisitions that I was doing for a larger company. And that brought me to Silicon Valley about 22 years ago. And since then, I've focused on working for small companies at that time when I joined with the great technology and the opportunity to transform the business. And Dinodo is certainly one of them. And I've stuck with it. And we're having a great journey together.
What an amazing journey you've had till now. Thank you for sharing with us. So let's dive right into discussing today's topic. Since we will be discussing all things modern data ecosystem today, let's begin with the basics. Can you tell us a little bit about traditional data ecosystems?
Yeah, absolutely, Neha. So in order to understand what is a modern data ecosystem, obviously you need a baseline. So it's a good question to ask, what's a traditional data ecosystem? Traditionally, if I'm going back maybe 30, 40 years since the inception of IT, the concept of information technology, we had applications that were, you know, kind of a verticalized in a silo. You know, mainframes would store the data, process the data, would provide the UI. We moved to server, you know, client-server configurations, but definitely there was a very distinct difference between operational applications and data that need to be then pulled out of there and stored in what was typically at that time a data warehouse, data mart for analytical purposes. So there was a strong divide between operational and analytical. And that created a traditional data ecosystem that was that started off with source systems, the concept of moving that data, extracting, transforming, and loading or replicating that data into a data warehouse. And then that wasn't enough. And then you had to kind of build a data mart and then a report. And so it was kind of like almost a workflow of replicating the data. At one point, Gartner estimated that a typical atomic transaction at a large company gets copied about 18 times. So a traditional data ecosystem, therefore, consists of primary data stores, your secondary data stores, your data movement engines, and then other data management engines like data quality, data master data management. And then, of course, you have on the top the consumers of the data that were typically business intelligence or analytical applications. So that's kind of actually been the model for many, many years. And technologies change, but the fundamental model of replicating, copying the data and having tools to do that is kind of what I would consider a traditional data ecosystem.
So then the traditional data ecosystem in a way established a sound foundation for today's modern data ecosystem to build upon, right? Moving on to our next question, what characteristics distinguish a modern data ecosystem?
Yeah, from our point of view or what we consider modern data ecosystem, I want to define it not in the sense of the next 5 years or 10 years, but modern as in eternally modern. So I know that I'm not trying to put a time frame on it now. So that means it has to recognize that data is always going to be distributed, that there have been many, many attempts in the traditional data ecosystem to try to consolidate the data, first in the data warehouse, then maybe in a big data store, now in the cloud. But a modern ecosystem mindset is first recognizing and accepting the data is always going to be distributed. Why? Maybe it's for location reasons. You don't want to all be in one cloud, have all your eggs in one basket. Maybe you need some data to be on-prem, some data to be in one cloud, some data to be in another cloud. Maybe you want to have some SaaS applications. It's also because you accept that best of breed technologies are there for different workloads. So one database may do one thing very well, another database may do another thing very well. So heterogeneity is about location, heterogeneity is about fit for purpose technologies. And also the idea that just because the data is distributed and the data is heterogeneous, there is not necessity for to always bring it all back into one place. So what is more important in a modern data ecosystem is that there is unified ways to discover and access this information, the freedom to discover, freedom to access, and that's heavily driven by the metadata or data about the data. And then leveraging all of that underlying distributed capability to do the work, but yet present a central layer where you can have governance, security, and things like that. So what I would describe that modern data ecosystem is a combination of distributed and heterogeneous physical layers, but supplemented with a very intelligent logical layer. And this logical layer is what is making the underlying existing traditional data ecosystem more modern because it's infinitely flexible. I like to use the simple analogy of you could keep on burning CDs for every party, or you could have a playlist. And we all know that a playlist is far more flexible. It's not exact analogy, but it's something like that. So a logical layer allows you to leverage the physical layer and be very agile about it. And that's what I think are the key elements of what I would call a modern data ecosystem.
So in a nutshell, heterogeneity in terms of location, that is cloud or on-premise, and a unified agile method of accessing and leveraging the distributed data supplemented by a logical layer are some of the key characteristics of a modern data ecosystem. So moving on to our next question, how are emerging technologies shaping the modern data ecosystem?
So when you consider the normal kind of the way that people think of these data ecosystems, you have your places where the data is stored and processed. Then you have the general area of middleware where it's governed, transformed, presented in new combinations, integrated, etc. And then you have the data consumers, which today are also very heterogeneous. You know, you have visualization tools, you have data science tools, you have applications, so on and so forth. So the emerging technologies are happening at every layer in this modern data ecosystems. Every few years, we have new types of data sources, new types of systems, new types of processing engines, new types of data governance, data catalogs, data integration techniques. And of course, the whole application layer is also emerging very rapidly. And so the important idea here is that they all are able to be connected through this concept of the common semantics, which for this purpose, I'll call it the metadata. So we understand the data, regardless of its format, location, et cetera, or regardless of how it's going to be consumed in an interchangeable way. So the emerging technologies are constantly modifying this modern data ecosystem, yet at the same time, they're enriching the modern data ecosystem by having multiple endpoints, both as a source and as a consumption layer. And the key here is that the ability to adapt to this. Now, there are many different architectures within the concept of a modern data ecosystem. I will kind of mention a couple here. There's a concept that's promoted and very well recognized by leading analyst firms like Gartner and Forrester around the data fabric. So when you, again, consider that from a perspective of a logical data fabric, it's uniting the physical and the semantic into how to present the data. You also have the concepts like the data mesh, which basically say, again, it's an architectural idea or an architectural pattern, I might say. It's basically saying different domains within a business, you know, a finance domain, a HR domain, the plant and manufacturing domain should each control their own data sets, and those data assets become available to other domains in a distributed way. Again, it's this concept of a data mesh. You also have this from a more application perspective, the architectural concept of data services, microservices, APIs, and endpoints. Again, when you see how data plays into that, it's not just the application layer, which focuses on the UI and logic, but also the data services that feed those applications. And there's API management and all that. So there are many different sub patterns, but the unifying concept between all of these different architectures in a modern data system is that you really try not to keep on replicating the data, but you use best of breed solutions in all aspects of the data system, but then bring that logical layer or logical aspect to that modern data system through technologies. And one of the key technologies that's driving this whole thing is the concept of data virtualization.
Thank you, Suresh. We have touched upon different architectures in a modern data ecosystem, like the logical data fabric, data mesh, data services, APIs, etc. And how a modern data ecosystem consists of all of these sub-patterns held together by unified concept of reduced data replication and the usage of best of breed solutions in all aspects of the data system held together by a logical layer through technologies, mainly data virtualization. That sums it up very nicely. So how does a modern data ecosystem drive business value then, according to you?
Yeah, in fact, that's what we really need to come down to, isn't it, Neha? Because we do all this stuff, but it's all about the business value and how it's helping the business do what it wants to do, acquire customers, sell products, you know, take care of patients in a hospital, so on and so forth. So I always talk about that, although there's a lot of data and we're getting more and more every day, just ingesting the data, acquiring the data, storing the data, processing the data, et cetera, actually don't drive business value. What really drives business value is when that data is consumed and consumed by many people and in a very relevant context for whatever work they're doing. If it's a top level management, they're being used for driving real-time decisions. If you're a factory operator or a nurse treating a patient, you're using it at the point of service. So consumption should be the focus. And that's what this modern data ecosystem focuses on. So the sub elements of that focus on driving better consumption of more relevant data is first the concept of being able to discover the data, having the freedom, the self-service to discover data through logical data catalog. And then being able to access it, provided you have the right security and the permissions, and then being able to see the relevance of it for what you're doing, but being able to access it in the form that you wanted. Maybe you like to use a particular BI tool. Maybe you're trying to access it in the context of building an application, so the data should be accessible in many different ways. So the concepts of discovering data, the freedom to access, having the relevant metadata in a way that I can focus on its relevance to my particular task. So all of the tags, the recommendations, et cetera. And also the data is more real time or near real time because I'm not replicating these data 18 times, like I said, I'm accessing it from the source of truth. From a business value perspective, it's also important to secure the data, but now you have a central control point through this logical layer to secure it. And last but not least, it's all about the agility. If I were trying to go back to my CD burning analogy for every party, it takes time to burn every CD, whereas to rearrange a playlist takes seconds. So it's the same idea. Agility really, really matters in driving business value. So in various different ways, the modern data ecosystem is not so much about the technology. The technology is the enabler. It's all about driving business value through agility, through choice, through increasing consumption of the data and providing better governance and security.
I agree. Data discovery, access, and consumption, most importantly, in an agile and relevant manner, must be of key focus for businesses to derive value out of the data. I really liked how you shifted the focus from just the technology point of view to the consumer point of view, that it is always about how we consume the data. This reminds me of one of our previous episodes, actually, with Ravi Shankar, where he explains the concept of data virtualization using an analogy that if you want to have a glass of water, you can either get the entire pitcher to fill a glass of water or just go to the pitcher itself and fill the glass. It'll be much easier and a faster process that way. So this example is very similar to what you mentioned, that users access only the data that they require. And modern data ecosystem enables this process. Did I get that right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's about focusing on the right data at the right time and wherever it comes from, and not being limited. But you also bring up the point of why did the people in the past, you know, fill that picture, to use your analogy, because they were maybe fearful that the data wouldn't be available. And that's where the emergence of new technologies, such as very smart caching or, you know, building summaries on the fly. I want to emphasize something here, which I haven't touched on so far, that the modern data ecosystem is very, very intelligent. So at every step of the process, where a lot of manual effort used to be applied for extracting the data, transforming the data, integrating the data, managing the data, we're using a lot of AI ML. So the low-level tasks of understanding the data, summarizing what data should be most readily available, improving query performance, suggesting the right data sets to the right user, we're now using a lot of AI ML. So the low-level tasks are being taken care of automatically so that the analysts and the consumers can focus on the real business use of that. That's another big driver. And it's enabled, people often ask, what about performance? It's the availability of very strong physical layer underneath. So I don't want to discard the physical layer. The physical layer is very, very important, and those technologies are very powerful. Why do you not want to use them by adding the logical layer and then using that power plus the AI ML power to do a lot of the mundane tasks and then focus on delivering the data? So it's a lot of things coming together. And today we are in a world where that is the only way, really, to deal with the volume and complexity of data. If we keep trying to put it all in that big picture, we're never going to be able to fit all the data in that picture anymore. So we have to be agile.
I completely agree there with you, Suresh, totally. So is this primarily for BI analytics, or does it impact other IT applications and initiatives?
You know, when a lot of people talk about data integration or data management, their mind immediately goes to BI reporting, nowadays advanced analytics, data science, etc. And that's certainly a very, very important area. But when you think about, again, the traditional stack for applications, application developers used to try to do everything. They had to focus on the UI, UX, user experience, user interface. They had to focus on the business logic, and they had to focus on all the data that they needed to access. And nowadays, these applications are becoming so fast changing, like mobile banking applications or whatever, that this logical modern data ecosystem is also able to feed data services, as I mentioned, through APIs. You know, unburdening the IT application environment and allowing them to go much, much faster. Again, the concept of agility. So I would say BI analytics is important, but also data services and APIs, data APIs for application, modern application development is very important, working with the application level. But also from the perspective of data sharing, other areas such as data protection, personal identifiable information being well secured. So there's a lot of, I would say, security, risk, governance kinds of applications for that, or initiatives that are also very, very important for this modern data ecosystem. So I would say it's you have to think of it as we said, it's an ecosystem. It's the entire layer. Different users might have different ways to access the data, different ways that they want to consume the data. A really good modern data ecosystem should not have a different set of data elements for one use and a different for the other use. Logically, semantically, they should be the same, but in the way that they are consumed and the way they are delivered, they may be different. So that would be my answer.
Thank you for joining us, Suresh, and for talking about modern data ecosystems has been crucial in linking all the various data-related topics we've been tackling on this podcast series. So before we conclude, we have a last part left. So we have a quick surprise Q&A round for you. Are you ready?
Oh, wow. I like surprises. What do you have in store?
That's awesome. So I actually did some research and found out that you're an avid traveler. So has traveling influenced your career in any way? And if so, what were your learnings?
Look for the commonality that maybe even if I'm dealing in a customer negotiation, I can see what is it that they're looking for? What is it I'm looking for? So it's, I think, been a great opportunity to learn the travel.
Well, you know, like experiences and lessons that you kind of use till date in your professional and personal life. That's wonderful. Moving on to our next question is, what is a favorite hobby of yours?
Well, I have the common hobbies of listening, particularly like classical music. But one of the things I used to do as a boy was build my own toys, usually mechanical toys, planes, aero models. And to this day, I enjoy teaching younger kids how to work with tools and build things. And if I don't have that, I at least am working on projects in my house. So that's very relaxing for me.
Very interesting. A little DIY on the side to unwind. So my last question for you is, since you have visited so many countries already, what place is there on your travel list next and why?
To be honest, I just got back 2 days ago from a 5-week trip. My last 3 days were in Lisbon in Portugal. I enjoyed some relaxing fado music there, but right now, if you ask me, I'm really enjoying sleeping in my own bed and I have no immediate next travel plans.
After all these weeks of travel, I can imagine that you'd probably just want to stay home and relax for a bit. Totally understandable. Perfect. So thank you so much for answering so candidly, Suresh. This was a brilliant session and thank you for joining us as well.
Thank you, Neha. You're a brilliant host and I really enjoyed this session as well. And I hope our listeners do as well.
A quick message to our listeners, if you enjoyed this episode, please head over to www.denodo.com/podcast to find out more resources on topics later.